In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. Christos en esti. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos anviat. Christos amenvefuka. Christ is risen. In this morning's gospel, just as a recap, Jesus has gone to Jerusalem, and he has gone to this pool, that this pool that had healing powers that already at Jesus' time had a long history. And this pool was called Bethesda. And the name of Bethesda in Hebrew means the house of either blessedness, the house of grace, or the house of mercy. So already this pool was associated with mercy and grace. And we know that it is associated, therefore, with God. Now, there was a man, we hear, who was there for many, many years, 38 years. And with all the crowds going in, and the one time when the water would turn by the angel and people would rush in, every man for himself, this man, a paralytic, unable to move in his body, was left behind. Now, this man, the fathers say in the hymns of the church, which we sang last night during Vespers, that this man's paralysis, this man was like a living dead man. It said that this man was a living corpse. This is the poetry that the church uses to describe this man. And it said that this pallet or this bed that he laid on was like a tomb that kept this man down. Now, this man was completely unable to help himself. He could speak, he could ask, he could hope, but he could not get up and go down to the water. So it says in the gospel that Jesus, out of all the crowd, specifically went to this man. And Jesus says to the man, do you want to be made well? In the Greek, it actually says, do you want to be made ihis, which is sometimes translated as healthy, but in the Greek it really means, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made as if you were perfect, as if this disease never happened? Now, the man could have merely said, yes, please. But he gives this explanation about why he couldn't get in the water. Now, when we hear him speaking, that is the paralytic, we can either hear him stating a fact, why he can't get down to the water. We can hear him complaining about why he can't get down to the water. We can hear him making excuses and rationalizations about why he cannot get down to the water. But one thing that we cannot say that he ever said or did is that he never gave up, because he stayed there for 38 years. This man did not give up. This man had great perseverance. This is why Jesus also went specifically to him. Perseverance matters in the Orthodox Christian spiritual life, in the Orthodox Christian liturgical life. And everything that we do as Orthodox Christians, perseverance matters. So Jesus went to this man specifically because of his 38-year long vigil. Now, Jesus also went directly to this man. This is if we're reading between the lines of the scripture here, because Jesus was always with this man for 38 years. His whole life, even at his birth, even before his birth, Jesus was there with this man from his very beginning. And so we may hear in the words of this man, no one ever came to help me. But Jesus went to this man and to remind all of us that Jesus is with us always. And we need to remember that though 38 years this man was there, God still provided for him. He may not have been able to use his body, but he had his clothing. He had people bringing him food. He survived. His heart kept beating for this day for him to have this encounter with God. So Jesus speaks to him. He asks this question. The man gives his excuses. And then Jesus merely says to him, he gives him three commandments. Rise, take up your pallet, and walk. Now the word rise, the command rise in the Greek is the same word as get up. It's the same word as resurrect. But it's also the probable meaning here, as understood by the hearers. This word rise means to wake up. Wake up. Stop looking with despairing eyes at what you cannot do. Stop looking with despairing eyes at this pool of water that is always out of reach for you. Wake up and start looking to God, Jesus Christ, who is your real Savior, who can and will do more for you than this healing water in this pool in front of you. Wake up and look to the real Savior and know that your Lord and Savior is here in front of you, Jesus Christ. Take up your pallet. Why would Jesus tell this man to take up his pallet, even though Jesus knew and everybody knew that it was the Sabbath? Why would Jesus tell this man to break the law? And let's think about this man's pallet. It was there for 38 years. It was stinky. It was old. It was ratty. Why pick it up at all? Why not just throw it into the fire and be done with it? But Jesus says to take it up because this pallet is a relic. It's a memento of what Jesus has done for him. Later, this man is found at the temple, and he has his pallet still with him. Back then, the pool of Bethesda was outside the city wall. And he had to go through the city, walk up the hill to the top of the mountain to where the temple was, carrying this pallet for everyone to see this paralytic who now is able to walk. This is why Jesus says, take up your pallet, so that everyone can see this holy relic of what Jesus has done for him. All the relics we have at the church, by the way, do the same thing. They remind us of God's work through the saints, through the things he does, everything that God has working in our lives. And then he says, walk. It doesn't just say walk in the Greek. It says peripatisos. Walk around. Make a spectacle of yourself. Go here and there. Lift up your pallet and show everybody what happened. And so this is where this gospel passage ends here that we read today. But there's more to the story. I wish that we could have, in the gospel, read the verses after this account. Because more happens. When the people see this man walking around, this man has the pallet, he takes it into the temple. And what happens? The Jewish leadership, the hardliners of the Jewish leadership, see him carrying this once famous paralytic man, carrying, walking, talking, celebrating, and they say, why are you working on the Sabbath? And here's what this man said, essentially. He said, don't blame me. Don't blame me. Blame the one who healed me, this man said. What's his name? They said, I don't know his name. Whatever he did, I don't know his name, but whatever he did speaks about what he did for me. And so then Jesus comes to the temple and he says to the man, he has this conversation with him, and then Jesus says to him, sin no more. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Sin no more. But the Jews encounter Jesus then, as because they knew he was the man who did this, quote, work on the Sabbath. And Jesus gives this explanation that no one can counter. Jesus says, it is my Father's will to heal and to give life. It's my Father's power to kill or to give life and to judge, to raise up and to cause others to fall down and to judge. And the Father has given me this authority to do this myself. What is Jesus saying? He says several times, my Father, not our Father, not your Father, but my Father. And this really roils the Jewish hardliners, because what is Jesus doing? It's undeniable that he is making himself equal to God. And this is later what the Jews would accuse Jesus of doing at his trial. Jesus is not hiding it. He's not hiding the fact. He is saying, the Father is my Father. I am his Son. I am God, just like my Father. I am equal with my Father, and I'm able to do these things. Now, to make a long story short, when Jesus says this very clear explanation and confession that he is God, this is the very gospel passage that we read at the funeral service, coming directly from this miracle here, where Jesus is saying, I have the power to raise from the dead. I have the power to judge. The Father has given me this power to do all these things. And my judgment is just, Jesus says, because my Father is just. Here's a question to take home with us. Why is this particular gospel read at the funeral service? Because we are reminded that our Lord is the only one who can raise us from the dead, and that he wants to raise us from the dead. It's the Father's will that we not die, but that we rise again and be with him in the kingdom of the heaven. And then one concluding thought. Jesus gave this paralytic more than what the paralytic asked for. The paralytic asked to be made healthy. And we know the paralytic meant by health. In his mind, I want to be able to walk around, go about freely, go to the market, go to my family, go to my friends, go to the country, go and enjoy my body in a healthy way. And Jesus gave him that. But Jesus gave him more, because Jesus healed his soul. Didn't just heal his body, but made him completely healthy on the outside and in the inside. This is why Jesus says to this man, go and sin no more. Jesus is saying, I've done this great thing for you. I've given you a blank slate in your life. I have healed your body. I have forgiven you of your sins. You are now perfect again. Don't ruin it. Don't go back to your old ways, whatever these things that led to you being as you were for those 38 years. Jesus is linking this man's bodily illness with some sin that the man did before. Jesus is saying, don't go back. Don't ruin this beautiful thing that I have given for you. St. Paul says something very similar, saying, How can God help us if we turn our back on the salvation that God has given us? This is a lesson for us. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Let us be relieved that God has forgiven us of our sins, that he is always with us. And because when we fall, because we do fall, God will continue to forgive us if we ask him with a true and genuine heart to do so. What a great thing that we have. And may we never turn our back on this great salvation that God has offered to us.